You are listening to Zoom, the Retro Comic Book Show.
Comic book I like. Comic books I recommend. This is another series that I'm doing in addition to Comics with Issues, which are comic books about social issues, and Quantum Suckage, which is about a horrible comic book called Quantum and Woody. There's a third series, Comic Books I Recommend, and this is the first of that series. The first comic book, Dark Avengers, number 16. And this is during the siege from a couple of years ago. Actually, this is the end cap to the siege. Okay, the siege was a crossover, and it was a miniseries also a couple of years ago. You know what Marvel and all the other comic book companies do, the big ones, or the ones who want to be big, they come up with a crossover. They name it, you know, Millennium, Civil War, Crisis on Infinite Earths, the Revelations, whatever. And then that's the name. They, you know, it's usually a miniseries. And then every other comic book, every superhero in that universe has crossover issues, and you got to buy 100 issues. I didn't buy any of the Siege. With just a few of the Dark Avengers series. And basically all it is, it started out with the end of Civil War in the Marvel Universe, where Tony Stark gave a psychopath named Norman Osborn, a.k.a. the Green Goblin, power to run a team of supervillains. It was the Thunderbolts. Thunderbolts always been supervillains, but not as crazy and unlikable as these people. And that was all Warren Ellis is doing. God dang. That's why these are the best writers. When you say Warren Ellis, Garth Ennis, Alan Moore, and I begrudgingly say Neil Gaiman and Mark, I think Mark Miller, but Mark Miller is not like them. He's more crass. But when you get a great writer, they take something that is pedestrian and they bring it up, or they take a good idea, like the Thunderbolts is a good idea, a team of bad guys who's trying to reform and be superheroes. But to me, under Fabian Nicieza and people like that, Thunderbolts was pedestrian. Here, when you get a great comic book writer like Warren Ellis, yeah, then you bring something up to the next level, or Grant Morrison, in this case Warren Ellis. That's why we have the Siege. That's why we have this great stuff, because his Thunderbolts was so good. That team, that particular team with Norman Osborn, the Swordsman, with Bullseye, and what's her face, Moonstone, and a few others. Oh, great, great writing. Great. That's like a perfect comic between that writing and that art by Mike Deodato. And that's what we have here. Basically, Warren Ellis, you know, you can only do that storyline for so long. And Warren Ellis knew that, and Marvel knew that. So some other people came in. Their Thunderbolts, not good, of course, not as good as Warren Ellis's, but not as bad as the previous generations of Thunderbolts. Anyway, the point is, how did we get the Siege? Because Thunderbolts was so damn good with Norman Osborn as a leader that they got promoted in the Marvel Universe, and Brian Michael Bendis, whatever, all these motherfuckers with three first names. Anyway, John Wayne Gacy took over and just put the Dark Avengers, as you call them. First, they were, yeah, it was when Norman Osborn was made a hero. When the Earth was invaded by aliens called the Skrulls, even though all the superheroes of the universe teamed up together and kicked the Skrulls' ass, the nation saw on TV that Norman Osborn took out the Queen. He shot her right in the head and killed her, and that's what people like. That's what people respond to, and therefore he's given a new powerful position in the government. And he kicked Tony Stark out. He kicked everybody out. Nick Fury and them was continuing to be on the run. All the superheroes are on the run. And he put Norman Osborn, put his friends in charge, which are all supervillains who are fucked up in the head like him. And he made alliances with the greatest supervillains, the most powerful supervillains, to take over everything so he could run the world. He wanted to destroy Asgard. He wanted to be more powerful. Basically, he was biting off more than he could chew, and since he's crazy, he never realized it. So, long story short, Norman Osborn and his team of Dark Avengers, which were basically, they were knockoffs of the original Avengers. You know, instead of Wolverine, they had Dark Wolverine, which is his son, Dokken. Then, instead of Spider-Man, there was Venom, but Venom masqueraded himself to be more of a smaller stature like Spider-Man, so he looked slinkier like Spider-Man. Then there was the Iron Patriot, which is Norman Osborn, modeled himself after kind of the Iron Man, but he's got red, white, and blue, so that makes him even better. That's his colors. And, you know, Bullseye was Hawkeye, dressed up as Hawkeye, and Moonstone was dressed up as Miss Marvel. I wonder if the public realized that those aren't the same people, or if because they have masks on, the public was like, oh, it must be the same people. And they got away with a whole bunch of shit, which I'm not going to get into. It's like, how could you get away with being the Dark Avengers, doing some of the things that they did, which was basically no concern for public welfare whatsoever. But you know what? Like, people died when Norman Osborn and them was supposed to be saving people, they would kill a evil or a killer giant robot. The Dark Avengers might take it out, and the thing falls on a bunch of pedestrians or innocent bystanders. But I'm thinking, you know what? That shit probably happens all the time with the good guys, too. They just don't show it. And it's just an unspoken word in the Marvel Universe. They're like, fuck it, we're not going to show it. But we, the writers and the artists, know that the Hulk really did kill a bunch of motherfucking people. And, you know, when Superman fights against Darkseid in Metropolis, a bunch of people died. The building was knocked down and people died. Everybody died. Anyway, let's talk about the end of The Siege. And I did not read that miniseries. That's as much as I understand about it. I didn't read any of it. But that's the thing about the best issues that I recommend. They're all can be read either as done in one stories, or it's just the kind of comic book that they that has no continuous stories. You can read any story. Just like episodic television of the 70s and 80s. If you watched an episode of Hunter, you didn't have to watch previous episodes to get it. Same thing with Law and Order. You can watch one episode of Law and Order. Yeah, there might be little character things. Once in a while, you'll see one of the characters dealing with their daughter, his daughter that he has dealt with in the past. But basically, you don't have to watch all those episodes to get one episode. That's what my recommendations, I think, are. Even the ones like this that has the Siege crossover. I didn't read the Siege, but I understood exactly what was going on in this comic book. And basically, this is after the defeat of the Dark Avengers. Dark Avengers are on the cover, busted up. Okay, got laying on it. To me, it looks like it's the remember the Fall of the Mutants cover from the mid 80s. It's the X-Men crossover, and it was a promotional picture, a promotional illustration of all the X-Men lying on a desert, dry desert floor that was cracked. And they were, it was just a bunch of dead mutants or mutants that looked like they were dead and dying, strung, you know, in a line coming toward the viewer, basically. And that's exactly what this looks like. But it's all the Dark Avengers laying on a cracked desert floor. And it's a good, and it's drawn by Mike Deodato, so you know it's got to be good. On the inside, it warns, read Siege number 4 before you read this issue, which I didn't do that. And they just want you to read it so you can, you know, you can, if you're reading it in order, then they want you to read it in order so you'll get the, you won't get the end of the story before, you know, pertinent parts happen. But basically, all you got to know going into this is Norman Osborn and all his boys got their ass kicked, handed to them. They're captured by the dark, by the real Avengers. And it's like, there's a good picture here of Norman Osborn. He's all bound up with these metal, you know how they do in comic books. Instead of just having handcuffs, well, he is the Green Goblin, but instead of having handcuffs, they had these giant steel metal gauntlets all up and down his arms and legs, and you could tell there's a lot of weight on the legs, so he can't run anywhere. And they're taking him in, and then it flashes back to the day before, where all of the Dark Avengers and Victoria Hand, who is not Norman Osborn's right hand girl, there. Basically, they just got their ass kicked in Asgard, and they're under arrest, and they're on their knees with their hands above their heads. And Nick Fury is talking shit to him. But Victoria Hand, who she was an assistant, and I'm familiar with her being Norman's like secretary, and I know she did a lot of file things as his secretary, but to the extent of what she did in Siege, I don't know. But she, you know, she was a criminal, and she says, "I serve my country, same as all of you." She says this to the Avengers, and one of the Avengers says, "You know, sometimes it's nice when to know to shut the fuck up." Of course, they didn't write fuck. They wrote the curse symbols. But I like that. I like that. That's just cool. And you don't know who said that because the bubble goes off panel. So I like that's a nice touch. This is pretty. That's fucking cool. It reminds me of like in Spike Lee's movie Jungle Fever, where you watching, you see John Turturro's face while all his friends are taunting him and shit, and they're saying all kinds of stuff, and somebody says something out of the blue to him, but we don't know who said it, but the whole audience laughs because it's a funny line, but it made even funnier by the fact that you don't know who said that, you don't know who said it, that somebody just yelled it out. And but basically Victoria Hand is talking shit until she sees that Norman Osborn is captured by Bucky, Captain America, and thrown on the floor. Actually, it's the real Captain America. Sorry, my bad. And she's like, shit. And everybody sees that, and they're like, damn. It's like silent panels of the faces of some of the Dark Avengers, and like, it's over. That's when the Dark Miss Marvel, a.k.a. Moonstone, flies away or tries to escape. And then when she does it, Hawkeye tries to run. And they, of course, Miss Marvel goes after Moonstone, and somebody else runs after Hawkeye, and they're getting away. But then, of course, out of nowhere, Captain America. Iron Man knocks the shit out of Moonstone. He just flies out of nowhere and knocks the shit out of her. And he's in the old school armor, too, on top of that. And Luke Cage knocks the shit out of Hawkeye. And they not Hawkeye, but the evil Hawkeye, a.k.a. Bullseye. And they both fall next to each other. She falls out of the sky. She happens to fall right next to where he lands. And it just gives you the feeling of desperation that these guys, like, they had it all. They had the whole world in their hand. They were about to run everything when they took over Asgard. But then the Avengers shut them down. And now they're all desperate. And so, and instead of talking shit about how I serve my country, Victoria Hand changes her tune when she says, when she saw what happened. She says, "My name is Victoria Hand. I would like a lawyer, please." And Cap is like, "I know who you are." And actually, she's commander now. She's not just a secretary. But the art here is kind of weird. This Mike Diodato, but the person who does the coloring, who does the colors here? Somebody named Rain Barreto. I wonder if they're the ones who did the color for Clayton Crane, because that's, it kind of looks like his art. It cuts to Dokken, who is Wolverine's son, and he was the Dark Wolverine, and basically he's far away from the others. He's on the planet Earth, Midgard or whatever, in a small town, and the only ones there to stop him are a bunch of army troops, and he's trapped in the town, and the troops are like combing the town trying to find him, and it shows him he's a ruthless son. I hate this motherfucker. He kills a bunch of soldiers, puts on one of the soldiers' clothes, and takes off in a jeep, and blows up one of the buildings, killing a bunch of soldiers looking for him. And he drives away smiling. And so, I mean, this is just, I wonder if this is the last issue of Dark Avengers. I didn't even check into that. Actually, no, it wasn't, because there's still, Dark Avengers is still going on. I take that back. I know it's not. But this is the last issue of Dark Avengers with Norman Osborn in charge. And there's no doubt that this comic book was made, and the whole Dark Siege, Dark Reign and the Siege and all that, because Warren Ellis, he did such, and Mike Diodato, that comic book that they did together, the Thunderbolts, starting from Thunderbolts 110 after Civil War, that was a pitch perfect. That was a perfect comic book. A perfect comic book. And that's exactly where all this shit came from. If that thing wasn't so good, you wouldn't have had Dark Reign and the Siege and Norman Osborn running shit in the Dark Avengers and all that. All that shit is always great. And I don't know. The Thunderbolts haven't been the same. Which I guess they couldn't keep that going on. And Warren Ellis wasn't going to write that forever. And nobody else could write that team, that lineup of Thunderbolts, who are now the Dark Avengers in this comic book. They couldn't have kept that going. It had to grow. It had no choice but to grow. That's what you're supposed to do, with kind of grow and change, you know. And they're going, you know, Thunderbolts ain't as good as it was then, but I think it's better than it was early on. You know, the early issues of Thunderbolts, and anything I think is better than that. But this here. Warren Ellis's his vision of the Thunderbolts and what they did with it, with Brian Michael Bendis writing it as Dark Avengers, is just good. This is good comic books. Then there's a scene where Ares, who died in the siege, during the siege, I think it was Sentry who killed him. I'm not sure, but Thor feels the need as one god to another. He feels the need to help Ares' son and to talk to Ares' son. And he gives Ares' son a choice to come to Asgard, because his son is a god or a half god or whatever he is. And the kid is like, "No, I want to stay here on Earth." But it's like three pages of those people talking about who Ares was. And his son, now his son looks like, what's his name? The boy who was in Sixth Sense. He He looks just like him, or even Macaulay Culkin in the Home Alone movies. That's what he looks like, all innocent and shit. And Thor says, your father moved mountains to try and give you that which he never had, and he died trying to protect it. And the boy says, he was a son of a bitch. and it's not Asgard, but Mount Olympus, because that's a different mythology. But he says, Thor says, you want me to take you to Mount Olympus, to New Olympus, to meet your kin? And the kid was like, nah. I was like, why wouldn't you? Maybe he thinks all his kin are son of a bitches like his dad was, because his dad was a son of a bitch. But I didn't know that, like, Thor could just do that. Like, he just walk up to Mount Olympus like, yo, I'm a Norse god here, Norse god. But but that was a good scene between those two, the kid and Thor. And then there's another Talking Heads pages between Captain America or Steve Rogers and what's her face, Victoria Hand, where basically he's giving her a second chance to work with the government, to work with S.H.I.E.L.D. And it's like, why the fuck would you trust her? That's the most ridiculous thing. I think that was stupid there, but still, it's entertaining. This whole thing is entertaining. Oh, and it caps it off with Norman Osborn in his cell. And, of course, the voices is talking to him, like the same voice, Green Goblin voice that was talking to him in the movie is just taunting him. And it's like, you're a failure, that you're this, you're that. But, and Norman gives a little speech here where he says why he did what he did. He says, I know the mutants of this world will rise up and kill us. I know that the Hawk will one day decide to destroy everything he sees. He tried to do that a couple of times. I know the Punisher will one day kill the wrong person and set off a chain of events that will lead to a nuclear holocaust. Wow. He's been reading a lot of what if. Anyway, he said, I know that these heroes will dive headfirst into something that they do not understand and end up doing such insane damage to the world that humans can no longer live in it. Bitch, that's what you've been trying to do the whole time. This dude is fucking crazy. He's nuts. Okay, but it's a nice end cap, especially when you see who he's talking to, which is basically his vision of what the Green Goblin is telling him. Basically, that thing quits taunting him. And he says, the thing is like, oh, boo-hoo. And because he's like whining and shit. The thing's like, yeah, motherfucker, quit whining. And Norman Osborn says, leave me alone. And the beast, the demon, says, I can't. I'm stuck here. Is this a good ending to the comic book? This is a good, even though that this is end capper. I never read The Siege. I loved this comic when I first read it. I probably got it in a 50-cent bin somewhere. I loved it. That's Dark Avengers number 16. I got to read The Siege just because of that. I dug the story a lot. I recommend that. I recommend any of the Dark Avengers, Dark Reign, The Siege, even though I didn't read it, but I still recommend it. And of course, the thing that started it all, that kicked it all off, Warren Ellis's run on Thunderbolts. You've been listening to Doom. I am Timmy Doom. Go to the website, thoomcast.blogspot.com. Email me, blackpun2000@yahoo.com. And, oh, check out, subscribe to us on iTunes and leave a comment for us on iTunes, a rating. Rate us. Give us 4 or 5 stars, whatever the highest rating is, and write a little review. Could be a couple of sentences on how great the show is. The Doom, iTunes ID is Doom's Comic Review. So just look for Doom's Comic Review on iTunes and subscribe. Write up a rating. And also, please subscribe to the Doom Facebook fan page. Or I shouldn't say fan page, just a Doom Facebook page. Right now I only have 5 followers. If I get to 30, then I'm recognized as like a real, you know, as a real entity, and I could do more things the more people I have following me. But I have to get to 30. That's all I got to get, 30 total. I got 5 already. So please go to the Doom Facebook page and like our page. Anyway, that's been Doom. I'm out. Thanks for joining me. Until next time, peace.